Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
That the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So we want you to know today, this is your day to be blessed. The Lord is your day to get greater insight of God's word. It's your day to be healed, your day to be delivered. It's your day to have a closer walk with God. Oh, the word of God tells us that to ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the door shall be opened. He said if we have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. He said that it shall be moved. So today we want you to get ready to be blessed by God. Whatever you need from God today, just believe God that he is able to supply that need. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we want to invite you to come and go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done, great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and glory. Thank you for every listener that are listening to the hour of power broadcast on today. God, we thank you, we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We want you to know today that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the hour of power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to preach the word of God this morning. We're going to be coming from the Old Testament, and we're going to be speaking from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and we're going to begin at that first verse. And it reads, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had delivered to Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. So in the beginning, when we began to see the word of God, because I like to kind of walk through the word of God as we are reading the word of God. And here we see Naaman, he was a captain of the host. And the king, he was under the king of Syria. And Naaman was a great man. And not only was, they say he was a great man, but he was also a honorable man. And it let us know why he was honorable, and the reason because the Lord had given him deliverance to Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor. But one thing that was wrong with him was that he had leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that he could not get rid of. No doctors in Syria was able to heal Naaman of that dreadful disease and debilitating disease that he had. No matter how much money he had, no matter how much prestige that he had, no matter how much honor he had, he was still a leper, something that he would had to endure, something that he had to day by day live with, because he knew that he needs a healing. But there was no one there where he lived to heal him of his leprosy. And the word of God tells us, and in that second verse, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maiden and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, but he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, they had gone, they had captured this young maiden, and she apparently had some compassion for Naaman and for his wife. And so here we see that she was letting Naaman's wife know that if he were in Israel, when he was in Samaria, that he would be recover him of the leprosy. That she knew, and she knew that God is a healer and a deliverer. She knew that there were men of God and a man of God that were able to cause healing to be manifested. She knew that there was a man of God that was walking in the Spirit of God. She knew there was a man of God that had the gift of healing and the man of God that was able to recover Naaman of this dreadful disease that seemingly he could not be cured of. And in that fourth verse, and one went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus says the maid that is in the land of Israel. So in other words, the young maiden that you brought over from Israel, she said thus and thus about the cure of Naaman. So apparently, she wasn't just there waiting on them, but I believe that she had something on the inside that caused her to let her light shine, that others could see her good work and to glorify the Father in heaven. I believe that her walk with God reflected on her daily living, because when she spoke and what she said, they didn't take it as not. They didn't take it as being unbelievable, but they believed what she said. And because they believed what she said, they went and made it known about what would happen if he was in Samaria. So therefore, when we began to read the word of God and see God, we see that this maiden, yes, she was captive. Yes, she was in a place that was not her own. Was it her desire to be among her people? Was it a desire to be among those that she loved, those that she was familiar with? Yes. But she was in a place where they had captive her, and she was there with Naaman and his wife. So therefore, we see that she wanted this man not to die, but she wanted this man to live. And she knew that there was a cure for him. She knew that God has all power in his hand. She knew that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. She knew that there was a prophet that was able to bring about the healing that Naaman had, that was, as I said before, was a debilitating type of disease that would render him helpless at certain stages of his life. It can also cause death with the type of leprosy that he had, or with the leprosy that he had. So after one had went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Come on. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So it let us know that truly the king of Syria, he honored Naaman. It already told us that he was an honorable man. He was a great man with his master. So therefore, he didn't think that it was nothing for him to give Naaman the silver and the gold so that and the raiment so that he could go and receive his healing. And in that sixth birth, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, because the king of Syria had sent the letter to the king of Israel, and this is what it said. Saying, now when this letter is come to you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy. You see, the king had it kind of backwards there. The king thought, the king of Syria thought that it was the king of Israel was the one that was going to do the healing. Now, he was king. He was majesty. He had silver gold himself. He was the king of Israel, and he had power, but yet he didn't have the power of God. You know, there are people in positions. They may be CEOs. They may be administrators. They may be directors. Whatever capacity that they work in or whatever they do. But yet, and they may be even so wise and intelligent in things that they do every day. But yet, when a person is not saved, when a person does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as when a person is not operating in the gift of the Spirit and do not know and trust God and have faith to know that God, he is a healer, and he can heal leprosy, and he can heal cancer, and he can heal leukemia, and he can heal diabetes, and he can heal high blood pressure, and he can heal those that have infirmities in their body, then they were sending him to a man that was in charge. But the man, he did not know, the king did not know the power of God. He did not know the power that was able to operate to heal and to deliver. So when the king of Syria sent this letter to the king of Israel, you know, really, he was really upset. As we began to read in this word, because the king of Syria wanted the king of Israel to recover Naaman of his leprosy. And in that seventh verse, it says, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his toy clothes and said, Am I God? To kill and to make alive, that this man does send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. He's saying, the king of Israel is saying, Am I God to kill and to make alive? Can I kill somebody and then bring them back to life again? Does this man expect me to recover a man from his leprosy? Because he knew what leprosy was and how leprosy can destroy a man's limb and his bones and his skin turned white and at different stages of the leprosy. And it eventually caused death. So he's thinking, what is he thinking? What do you think that is it up to me to be able to heal this man of this leprosy? Is he trying to get a quarrel in the king of Syria? Is he trying to start a quarrel between him and me? And in that 8th verse it says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you rent your clothes? Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. He's going to understand. He's going to know that there is a man of God. There is a prophet that can hear from God, a prophet that can do the supernatural, the prophet that God will use to do the miraculous. So Naaman came after he had talked to the king of Israel, and then Elisha let him know, the king of Israel, and let him know, send Naaman to me. And there is he going to know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses. Now remember, he's an honorable man. He has he was a mighty man. He has plot. He is a man that used to nice things, and he had a lot of pride inside of him. He didn't just have that disease, but he had something inside of him that God needed to deal with. So therefore, when Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, he was at the door of Elisha with all his horses and all that he had. Come on. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. Now, I just believe, and I know, that Elisha had already told the king of Israel to send him to him. But God had let the prophet Elisha know that there is a problem with Naaman. Not only does he have leprosy, but Naaman need to be dealt with. Naaman need to be delivered. Naaman need to be able to humble himself. You see, when he went to Elisha's house, Elisha, the prophet, didn't come out, but he sent a message by messenger and told Naaman to go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and his flesh will come again unto him. He said, your flesh will come again to you, and you shall be clean. Shall be clean. In other words, you're going to be made well. You're going to be made whole. But Naaman was angry. He resented what the messenger had said to him. He couldn't think about that he needed to be healed, that you could die, that the king of Syria had sent you there. But what he was thinking about, that he thought that Elisha should not really send a messenger to him. After all, I am Naaman. So he thought that Elisha should come out to him. So he said, behold, I thought, this is the 11th verse in case you want to read it, of the 2nd Kings, the 5th chapter. He said, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me. There's that me thing. And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He had no idea that what God had instructed the prophet to do, because he had already played it in his mind. You know, it's just like you imagining different things that may be going to happen to you, and you may heard something going to happen, and yet you plan in your mind how it's going to play, each play, how it's going to play. Well, it wasn't what he thought, because he thought he was somebody. He thought that I'm a dignitary, that I came from Syria, and I'm an honorable man, and I have this and all of that. But he did not know that what was going to actually happen. So God let the prophet, see, all wisdom and knowledge come from God. All understanding come from God. Those things that we have hidden in our heart, God sees them. So, yes, Naaman, the prophet Elisha could have come out, but no, God knew that this man had an anger problem. He was angry. He had an anger problem, because if he didn't, he would not have said what he did, and he would not have gotten angry as the word of God said. He'd have been grateful, and no matter what he told him to do, he would have been glad to do it. So he already thought, as we said before, and I'd like to read that again, because he said, but behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. He thought he was he was going to be ministered to, and everybody going to see what's going to be happening to him, and after all, I am somebody. And then this is what he said. This is what Naaman said. He said, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Now, it moved from anger to rage. From anger. Know why? Because he thought he was somebody. Know why? Because of the fact he could not humble himself. The word of God said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. He said, I will forgive the sin. He said, I will heal the land. This man needed a healing. But oh no, he thought that the river of Jordan, oh no, are you telling me to go and to dip 7 times in this dirty Jordan River? Aren't there other rivers much better than the river of Jordan? He began to think about Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? I mean, may I wash in them and be clean? So this is when he turned away and went away in rage. See, God knew, the prophet knew that this man had a problem. You know, sometimes it's not always what seemed to be that you could see from the outside. We know, and those that was around him knew that he had a leprosy problem. but they did not really know how deep that the problem that he had inside, because he was angry. Was angry on the inside. You know, sometimes some people don't see anger in people because they try to hide it, especially people that they want to honor or those that they want others to speak highly of them. Yes, if they was beneath them, they probably showed the anger. You know, they probably showed the rage. But God wanted to deal with Naaman. Naaman needed to be dealt with. So that's why he began to name all of these rivers that he could go and dip in, because he was saying that all of Pharaoh, and he was saying to Abana, they're better than, you know, aren't these rivers better than all the rivers in Israel? Come on. And his servant came near in that 13th verse and spoke to him and said, my father, now the servant was humble. He said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, some great thing, will you not have done it? But much rather than when he says to you, wash and be clean, then when he down, he had to think about that thing, because he knew that this man was speaking truth. This man, it wasn't the servant that needed to be healed. It wasn't the servant that needed to be delivered. It wasn't a servant that was about at some stage to die from leprosy, but it was him. So therefore, I thank God for that servant that spoke to him. I thank God that servant came humbly before Naaman and spoke to him concerning what the prophet had said. And in that 14th verse, and then went he down, and then went Naaman down and dipped himself 7 times, not 1 time, not 2 times, not 3 times, not 4, not 5, not 6, but the prophet says to dip 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God. And when he had dipped 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh, Naaman's flesh, came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Why? Because he obeyed. Why? Because he had to humble himself. He had to believe what the prophet was saying. He had to believe that what God was speaking through that prophet. And when he obeyed, his flesh came like the flesh of a little child. And then he was clean. Had he not obeyed God, had he went and washed in the rivers of Pharaoh and Abana, I don't believe that this man would have been healed. I believe that he'd have been still walking around in leprosy. But he had to humble himself. He had to be submissive to the man of God. And then he had to hear what his servant was saying to him. And when he did, that's when he received the healing. That's when he was clean. And in that 15th verse, and he turned to the man of God. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know. Come on, this is what I want you to hear as well. He said, now I know that there is no God. I don't care who he was serving, who he was bowing down to, who he was representing. Now he said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, no matter what my master may be worshiping, no matter what other anybody else may be worshiping. He said, I know that there is no God in all the earth but Israel. Now, therefore, I pray you, take a blessing of your servant. Oh, my God, what an amazing God that we serve. What a magnificent God that we serve. God is a God that is able to do not some things, but all things. And when we look there in that 16th verse, but he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. Elisha let him know, I'm not going to receive anything. See, sometimes people think that it's all about them. And they begin to receive a whole lot of gifts for something that God did. And a lot of money for something God did. But, you know, if God didn't tell you to receive certain things, when God used you to bring about healing to anyone and deliverance to other people's lives, you should not be waiting to receive from them. I know that when we give, God's going to give to us. But sometimes in the mentality of people's mind, they think sometimes that they have to receive from people just to heal them or deliver them. But God, he is the healing. We are the instruments that God used to bring about the healer. We are the vessel. We are the ambassador. We are his servant. We are the people of God that God will use. So Naaman, he tried to bless the man of God. And I can understand because he was grateful. He had been healed. He didn't no longer have to walk around where people didn't want to probably touch him or get too close to him. But the man of God said no. He would not do it. He said, as the Lord lives, for whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it. Naaman wanted him to take it. He urged him to take it. But you know what? The man of God stood fast, and he refused to take any type of gift that Naaman wanted to give him. Remember, the king had given him all of this gold. And silver and garments. I don't want it. You know, I'm a man of God. He knew God can take care of him. And not only that, he wanted Naaman to know that it was God that healed him, and that you can't pay me for what God did. So therefore, Naaman to go away with is that God is God. Because you remember that he said that Naaman said that there is no other God anywhere, you know, besides the God that he served, the God that Elisha served, the God of Israel. So therefore, he would not receive from him. And in that 17th verse, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray you, be given to your servants 2 mules, burden of earth, for your servants will thereof hereafter offer neither burning offering nor sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon your servant, that when my master goes into the house of Ramah to worship there, and he leaned on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramah. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramah, the Lord pardon your servant in this thing. and in the 19th verse. And he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. He had already made up his mind that I'm not going to worship any idol god. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to serve the true and the living God. He had to go, he had to come to Israel in order to see the goodness of God. He had to come to Israel to see that God is able to heal him and God is able to deliver him. But in that 20th verse, but Gehazi, which was a servant of Elisha, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman. See, you don't know who's walking with you sometimes. Somebody can be very close to you, giving you water, giving you drink, and they are the devil. They are filled with the spirit of wickedness. They are self-centered. They are lovers of the things of this world and being the lovers of God. So I believe that that Elisha knew the heart of Gehazi. Now, look what happened. He says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hand. Come on. Which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I would run after him. The man of God, I mean, Naaman had already left. So here the servant of Elisha saying, I'm going to run after him, and I'm going to take some what he has. I'm going to take some of the things that that he had brought for my master. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. Listen at when you're into the things of the world. Listen at the things that will happen when your heart is not right. You begin to lie. You begin to steal. You begin to cheat. And this is what the man that's supposed to have been, his servant who supposed to have been walking close to God and to the man of God, Elisha, this is what he said. And he said, he told Naaman, he said, my master has sent me saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from the mouth of Ephraim two young men of the son of a prophet. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, be contented. Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garment. No, he didn't want it for somebody that was coming. He was lying because no one was had came. He wanted it for himself. So, therefore, I'm going to have to kind of move on because we're out of time. So, but then it tells us, and when, in that 24th verse, and when he had came to the tower and to the hill, he took him, them from his, from their hands that he had given to the servant. He took the things that Naaman had given them from the servant he had taken with him, and behold, and he restored them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed because he wanted to see the man of God. But when he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, where come you, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. He lied again. And he said to him, went not my heart with you? In other words, did not see you? Will the man turn again from his chariot to meet you? I'm praying in the house of the Lord. I'm praying and seeking the face of God. And you think that I don't know, you walk with me all this long. You don't know that God is with me. You don't know that God hear me. You don't know that God speak through me. I see what you did. It is in that 26th verse in part B, it said, is it a time to receive money and to receive a garment and olive oil and vineyard and oxen and men servants and maid servants? And this is what happened. The leprosy, he told, this is what happened to of Gehazi, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cling to you and to your seed forever. And he went out from the presence a leper as white as snow. So we see that he was lying to the man of God. He didn't have any fear of God. And because he did, and because he lied to God and to the man of God, and because he took things that wasn't supposed to be his, yet the man of God spoke the word, and this man turned into a leprosy, although it's by white as snow, as the word of God said, because he lied, because he didn't believe, because he decided that he was going to take, and he was not going to let the Naaman leave there without getting some of those possessions that he had brought for the man of God. Let's get ready to go before the word of God. Before God in prayer. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you for this day. We thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity to preach your word. Lord, we thank you, God, for being able, God, to come before your people. God, we thank you for the word of life, God, that you have spoken to us. We thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity, God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. Lord, we ask thee, God, even now, to touch the people everywhere, those that are sick, those that have infirmity in their body, those that may not have leprosy, but they have cancer, those, God, that have leukemia, those that have high blood pressure, those, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that have glaucoma, God, those, Father, that having a problem with hearing defect, Father, we ask the healing power, God, to be manifest in their body. God, those, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that has infirmity in their throat and their larynx, Lord, God, God, heal right now, all in the esophagus and the stomach. Father, we pray healing right now. Those that are crippled, those, God, in the name of Jesus, that cannot walk. Father, we ask you, God, for the miraculous. God, even as you call the miraculous, God, to be manifested. God, in Naaman, we pray, God, that you will turn this thing around in their lives. God, no matter what it may be, God, that they can be healed. God, even as simple as a headache. Lord, you know, even those migraine headaches, God, will cause the people to hurt and be in pain. So, Father God, I send the word, God, even now, not to the hospitals, Lord God, to the nursing homes, Lord God, I send it by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And for this, we will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, Hour of Power broadcast. May God bless and keep you as our prayer. Tune in. Have a friend. Tune in next Wednesday at the very same time. Until then, may God bless and keep you in our prayers.